Welcome into the latest installment of the Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray, joined this morning by country music sensation Lee Bryce. Lee, thanks for coming in, enjoying the Golf Channel car wash here. How you doing?
Man, I love it. It's cool to be able to come to a place that, like, you know, we've done some interviews and working on this album and stuff, to where in places that, you know, I don't really watch the TV show mm-hmm. much, but like, I watch the channel so much, it's cool to come in here and hang out.
There you know? Go. We appreciate your viewership. Right. So let's get started here. Let's do tail of the tape, Lee Bryce on the course. Give me handicap, strengths, weaknesses.
Man, so my game is so 2 years ago I played 3 times a week, right? Okay. And we're on the road, and then this year I've been making this record, so I've played 3 times all of this year. I guess I'm learning, though. That's a good thing is that my handicap, which is, I don't know, somewhere around a 10 or 12,
okay.
That not playing a whole lot doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily kill you that bad. In fact, sometimes when you don't play, I go out and hadn't played in a while, and it's like, you know, I kind of have a good round because I'm not thinking about it, I'm not expecting too much. You
right.
know? You know, I can pretty much hit the fairways and a driver and stuff. One thing I'm working on the most right now is just irons. I've always struggled with my irons, and it's been something that I've always kind of, because I had zero type of training at all. So I mm-hmm. just kind of did what I thought. And so I was kind of scooping the ball.
Okay.
And so now I'm, over the last few years, I've been working hard at actually trying to do it correctly and hitting down and through the ball. And so that's kind of caused a couple of other issues.
It's always like whack-a-mole, right? Yeah. You try and fix something and move something else out of the way. So you've been in record mode the last couple of months, but when you're in tour mode, how's the balance for you between sneaking out and playing a round or two versus going out and doing shows at night?
Since I've been working on this record for the last year and a half, especially when I had to finish it for the last year, there's been zero time for getting out and playing golf. Like I said, I played 3 times. Mm-hmm. But the year before, I was just making a record and we were doing shows, but I could get up and we could play a full round, you know, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they go home on a Sunday, be with the family, mm-hmm. you know, be home Sunday through Wednesday and get back out. And we played just any day we could find a course we could play. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, just finishing this record, you know, was kind of like I kind of got up against a deadline. And so I was mm-hmm. all of my spare time. I have a studio on the bus.
Okay.
So, you know, I have no excuse to not be working when I'm out on the road.
How big is the bus to include a studio?
I mean,
or how small is the studio to fit on the bus?
It's a tour bus, so it has a big front lounge,
okay.
and the front lounge spreads out, so it slides out into a bigger room.
Okay.
And I've just got a couple of stacks of some preamps and stuff like that that microphones go through, and I keep it simple. But I did a lot of the guitars, a lot of the vocals, harmonica, and this and that. A bunch of overdubs, a bunch of the recording was from my actual record that's coming out was done right there on the tour bus.
So this is an audio podcast, but so you can't, and no one can see. But I will tell everyone you are very subtly sporting the Clemson paw print on your hat here. So, what gets you more nervous, going out to play a 50,000 seat arena or watching the Clemson Alabama game in January?
Man, that was tough, and it was amazing.
It was tough, then amazing, really amazing.
Yeah, I love going out and playing shows. I get a little bit of excitement about that. You know, I get the little, you know, the jitters like I used to play before I went and played a football game.
Mm-hmm.
But now going to watch my Tigers is a different story. You know, I got to take Daddy and my brother. We all three went to both national championships. Mm-hmm. We went out to Phoenix and watched them the first year, 2 years ago. And then last year we were there for the win. And it was really special times, you know, because we grew up bleeding orange our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very special thing to be able to go do that with your daddy and your brother. You
That's
know,
cool.
Cool guy time.
So it's a media pet peeve for us when people say we and they're talking about a team and it's like, well, you didn't play for that team, so you can't say we, but you get to say we because you did. You played for Clemson. What was that like?
It was what I wanted to do my whole life. You know, it was always music and football. And football was my whole kind of love, my passion in my life as a child and as a teenager. And then, you know, I got recruited to play football actually at a lot of schools. I got an invited walk-on at the very last minute. Clemson kind of had to dwindle down their recruiting, So I said, hey, look, so we're going to have to go one more year. We'd love for you to come walk on, and then we'll give you a scholarship if we, you do what we think you can do. And so I took that route because I wanted to go to Clemson before I took full rides straight up to other places. Mm-hmm. And because that's how much, you know, I love Clemson, you know, and I wanted to go there. That was my goal in life, was to play for them. And so once I did that, you know, then I got hurt, you know, and I was kind of like, okay, I've made that goal in my life, you know, I've done it. And so then I moved to Nashville. So
so I've always wondered this. You're going down the hill. You're touching Howard's Rock.
Oh, yeah.
You got cleats on. Are you ever scared that you're going to trip and fall?
Like, extremely. I'm telling you, if you've ever... I guess you can't tell even when you look at it.
It's pretty steep.
Even in person, but it is very steep.
Yeah.
And you are shoulder to shoulder with, you know, 120-something dudes that are majorly big and, like... And so it is a difficult thing. I mean, it is kind of like, it's like you have to concentrate to, like, because people have fallen. And yeah, if one goes down, you don't know how many is going to go down. But you always, it is definitely on the tip of your mind. Like, you're like, all right, keep your feet. Because when you jump, you're coming down a long way because it's so steep.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready.
Do you guys practice that during the week, or is somebody just save it for Saturday?
You just do it. You save it for Saturday. Okay. But they do tell you when you first get to Clemson, you know, they're like, of course, I went and visited Clemson, you know, did so that, you know, you walk down the hill, they'll let you go do that, mm-hmm, kind of stuff. So you kind of have an idea, but they do tell you, by the way, guys, you know, before the first game, remember, the hill is steep. Be careful. Yeah. Like, don't get crazy.
Did you have an in-game highlight of your playing career?
Oh, not really. I was a long snapper, you know, and I'd rotate in at center some. But, you know, I just – trust me, whenever you're long snapping, it's almost like one of those things that you can't even remember because you're so nervous. It's like you can't feel your hands, but yet you're supposed to snap a ball, you know, like this without looking 17 yards behind you,
right,
you know. So
you're only going to get noticed if you screw stuff up.
Oh, that's
right.
As a long snapper, there's you know, the only way you win is just to not get noticed.
So I read this. Correct me if I'm wrong. You have played Augusta National. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
How'd you pull that off?
Well, so I actually got invited to play play music at a private event, and they came in. They had said, "All right, we'll pay you this much to come in and play this show." But we have overhead, like, you know, tour buses and this and that, and, you know, I pay my players and stuff. So basically, what they were offering to pay me to play for this just private event, charity thing, was going to be, I was going to almost have to come out of pocket to go play. So I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. And then before I said, no, you know, we'll have to pass on that gig, I said, wait a minute, now who is it for again? I said, well, it's the wife of a member of Augusta National. I said, the wife? And it's her thing? They said, yeah, it's her charity. It's her event. I said, okay. Well, then I know how that works because I'm married. So I said, you just tell that wife that we will come and play her show for that money, but if I'm going to need a couple of foursomes.
On the course.
Uh-huh. And so about a month later, I sent my – so we have kind of a foursome out on the road. My drummer and my other drummer and my tour manager and myself. We go play a lot. So I sent them. They went and played before I did. And then the day of the show, which was only probably 3 weeks before the tournament, I got to go play.
Oh, wow.
And
so
I took my daddy and my brother, and we went and met Will, one of the members.
That's cool.
And it was a special day to be able to go. And, you know, he took us on the, you know, especially the very first time you go, and maybe the only time you go, who knows. But, like, they treat you so, you know, we went on the full tour. You know, mm-hmm, we got to go see all of it and hear all the stories. And, you know, and it's such a classic place, you know. They're like, you know, they don't gamble, they don't do all that kind of stuff. They're like, all right, buck a hole. You know, you're at Augusta, and you're like, all right, yep, buck a hole. Yep. You know, it's like very, very, it feels like you're, in a way, it feels like it's your own little country club. Just, that's how they treat it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's, they feel like it's their home, you know, and so it's very inviting.
Did you hit the green on 12?
I did not, actually. Okay. I went right over. I was over, and I was in the flowers.
You're in the bushes
I
there.
I was in the bushes. But I did, and I was a very scary chip back down.
Yeah.
But actually, I was safe, so we were good. But I didn't hit the green. But I think my drummer might have birdied that hole.
There you go.
I think he might have birdied 12.
That's almost a walk-off right there. You got six more holes of against this on the play, but otherwise,
that was just fun. In fact, I remember that was my first day back playing golf in a while, you know, because I had been just working, and I'd been on another record before that. And so, but after that is whenever I told you, you know, we were going to play we played two or three times a week, just about every day if we could.
So if you've already played Augusta, what's left on your course bucket list?
I want to go play the old course over across the water, across the pond. I'd love to go play that old course. And really, honestly, a bunch of courses over there, because they're so different. You know, they're so natural, and I just think that would be really cool to see that history.
Have you played over there at all?
I have not. I've not played over there at all. I have gone to Scotland before. My lineage comes from the first king of Scotland, Robert the Bruce. Bruce turned to Bryce.
There you go.
So I visited there.
So you basically had a cameo in Braveheart.
Yeah, basically. Basically. My great granddad. Yeah. You know. But when I went over there, we had to do a music thing and then come right back. So, and I wasn't with golf and friends. I was with music buddies that didn't play golf. So I want to get over there with some friends to play golf and really go enjoy some of that.
Did you play a lot growing up, or is this something you're late to the game?
I did. Well, I say a lot. I mean, my daddy decided he wanted to pick up golf, you know, and I was about 11, and so we couldn't afford really to even go to play at a real course, but there was a state park. And it was free, and you had to go out and you could walk, and it was basically just fields, and the greens. I mean, the greens literally had roots growing through them. Okay,
whatever works.
But
right?
But we would go there, and we'd all play out of the same bag, that's where I started. And then we ended up when we moved later in life, we lived on a golf course, and I got to where, you know, I get home from school and I take a handful of clubs. Handful of balls, and I'd go start on hole number 7 where we lived, and I'd go walk 9 every single day, you know, and all through high school. And so, you know, I kind of had a redneck version of playing golf. I say a lot, you know, growing up, but you know, that's how I did it. And now
it's pretty close variation of like the Seve Ballesteros way of growing up. Just play with what you got.
It is. And you know, there were times when I'd say I'm just gonna take a 5-iron out today, and I'd drive with a 5-iron, I'd play the fairways with a 5-iron, I'd chip with a 5-iron, I'd putt with it, and, you know.
It worked, right?
It taught you a lot, you know. Now I can still take a 5-iron, and I can run up a ball, you know. It's pretty fun.
So I don't want to get too heavy here, but I do want to talk a little bit. I know that you were part of that Route 91 Harvest Festival out in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and you played on Friday, correct?
Friday night, yeah.
But the shooting was on Sunday, so, I mean, What's that been like the last couple of weeks for you, trying to, having been so close to that and been a part of it?
It was so sad because Friday night was so magic. It was a great show. And Saturday I heard was really great. And then a lot of those fans, they stay the whole the whole weekend, and a lot of those fans come to a lot of our shows.
Yeah.
My personal shows a lot for years. So you got to think, people don't really realize who maybe are outside of the community, the country music community, and our fans, but like a lot of them are really a lot like family. We know a lot. I mean, I see them a lot at meet and greets. I see them in the stands. I talk to them outside the buses. I get to know them on first name basis. So there's a lot of people that I was worried about, you know, and still am, you know, and so that was my first reaction. I was like, wow, you know, this is my family out there, you know, but then it's been it's been a positive thing to see that with all the kind of stuff in the world that's going on right now, it seems like it's division and it's dividing, and everybody's got problems and issues and all their different views, and it just seems like it's everywhere. But with this, it seems like the country music community, instead of letting it be a division, It felt like it. It felt like they came together very soon. I mean, I had a show the day after, and it was like, well, do we play a show? Do we cancel? What do we do? You know. And I even talked to the crowd that night, the next night, about it. And they were like, no, they're like, this is what we love, you know, and we're not going to let fear take that from us, you know. And so I've just seen a lot of positive coming together rather than division. So it makes me proud of the country music community.
It's powerful stuff.
Yeah.
So you said you haven't had a lot of time for the golf because of the record.
Yeah, this
year. Are we nearing the end? We got a record coming here?
Yeah, a record's coming out November 3rd, which is, you know, coming up really quickly, and it's now turned in. So
is that one of those things where you have November 3rd on the calendar, you never think you're going to get there, and now it's like, well, it's like Friday.
Yeah, it's kind of, it is. It absolutely is. Of course, I just had a baby too, so I've got
congratulations.
I've got a 4-month-old little girl, so you know, it's been a kind of, my mind has been a scrambled egg. You know, I've got so much stuff going on, so I'm about to hit. I've got the Diamond Resorts Invitational, you know, coming up.
Oh, so you'll be coming back into Orlando.
I'll be coming back. And so I've got to get brushing back up in December and early January.
So it's very important. You got to bring your A game to compete with your fellow celebrities.
That's
what what happens if your kid wants to go to South Carolina?
That won't happen.
Just that's a non-starter.
That's just not going to happen. He can figure out his own way to pay for it.
There you go. Hey, that's fair. You got to know where the lines are drawn.
You got to know where the line are drawn.
That's it.
Look, that's it.
Yeah. Saturday after Thanksgiving. Down here, it's Florida State.
That's
up there, it's
Saturday,
Clemson, South Carolina.
You
just pick your side.
It's one or the other. There is no in-between.
There you go. Well, Lee Bryce, thank you very much for joining us on this Golf Channel podcast. The record, what's the name of the record, November 3rd?
Lee Bryce, self-titled.
There you go. Make it easy. Well, this has been a Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.